Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Monday, July 8th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. This is going to be a complicated episode today because there's so many contradictory realizations coming out of events over the weekend. But first, I do want to mention that Hurricane Beryl has, at least by the time you hear this, I'm recording it very late on Sunday night. By the time you hear this, it will have struck land. And it's so strange that this hurricane, at first, a few days ago, it was headed for Mexico. Wasn't even going to hit Texas at all. Maybe a little bit of rainfall. And then it just kept turning north and north and north and then northeast. And at one point, it was like it was going to hit Corpus Christi. That's how it looked a couple of days ago, which I reported on Saturday. And then it kept turning to the point where it's almost a direct hit on Houston. And of course, there's a lot of talk out there about geoengineering and weather control and guiding or steering weather systems. And this one changed its direction so dramatically that either modern day forecasters with all their computational gear and all their AI systems and all their, 100 plus years of forecasting data and all that stuff, either those people suck and all their tech sucks, or somebody steered this thing. Because the so-called forecasters were not putting this anywhere near Houston just 3 days ago. So how can it be a forecast if it doesn't look into the future? I mean, they might as well stop calling it a weather forecast. It's not a forecast because nothing that you said ever happens in the weather forecast. You might as well just call it like a weather, a weather fairy tale or a weather nowcast. Like, just tell us what's happening now. How about that? Weather nowcast. Because you suck at telling us what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. And you really suck at telling us what you think is going to happen in 30 years due to, climate change and global warming. How can we believe you on any of that stuff when you can't tell us where this hurricane's going to hit, not even within 100 miles, just 2 days ahead? Yeah, there's no forecasting in the weather sector. Now, there is no forecasting that works. It's all nonsense. For example, at one point over the weekend, I was watching the forecast and it said there's going to be nearly 7 inches of rain. And then a day later, it got downgraded to 0.7 inches of rain. Yeah, it just slashed it by a factor of 10. It's like, well, so much for your forecast. And I don't know how much rain we're going to get, but nobody else does either. The weatherman doesn't know. But anyway, let this serve as a quick reminder for those of you in the path of the storm. Be sure to, of course, get ready in every way you can if you haven't already been hit by it. It's already on shore now by the time you hear this, but it's headed to the northeast apparently, and it's going to drop a lot of rain. The actual eye of the hurricane is not moving that fast in terms of ground speed, so it's going to really saturate some ground areas quite a bit. There's going to be some flooding in some areas, and the rainfall estimates are that it could be up to 15 inches of rain in certain areas that are pretty close to Houston. Now, if this were a weather system that was being steered as a weapon, and if your government wanted to hurt Texas, what city would you nail with a weather system? Oh, you'd nail Houston, wouldn't you? Why? Because that's the energy hub. That's the biggest port, and that's where energy moves in and out of the state. Now, recall that Joe Biden, puppet president, Joe Biden, he had signed something that was, they tried to block liquid natural gas exports out of Texas, LNG. No more licenses for LNG exports. That was just overturned by a federal judge in the state of Texas, I believe. What was it, a week ago or 2 weeks ago? But that was an effort to try to punish Texas and destroy the Texas economy by blocking exports of liquid natural gas out of the port of Houston. So when this hurricane is just magically steered all the way from Mexico, and I don't mean just the Yucatan Peninsula, I mean like the landmass of Mexico south of Texas, that's where it was going to hit. And then it gets steered and just turns and turns and turns and then rams right into Houston nearly, just barely to the west of Houston. Yeah, something's fishy with that. Looks like Houston's being targeted. And of course, it's going to be all kinds of disruptions. Power lines will be down. Refineries will be put on pause. All the ports are on pause because of, you know, wind conditions, namely waves and so on. So none of the ports are functional right now. So this is going to just put pause on all kinds of imports, exports, and energy movement throughout the state. So once again, you know, it looks like the feds are waging war against the Texas economy and using weather control technology to do it. I'm sure Dane Wigington would be happy to explain all of this from Geoengineering Watch, because he's documented the, what is it, over 100 patents on file with the U.S. Patent Office that describe weather control systems and steering hurricanes through the use of atmospheric ionization, basically, is the way he described it to me. But maybe we'll get Dane on. I'm sure we will soon. We talk to him every once in a while, and we'll ask him for the full explanation of what this is. In the meantime, just know that not everything is natural. Sometimes these events are, you know, engineered. All right. Hey, I got a video of my rooster, Hamas, attacking me over the weekend. Of course, I was out there like goading him on, just verbally, like, come on, come on. Attack me, Hamas. You know, I named him Hamas, by the way, in case you're wondering, because he's a really determined fighter. I mean, well, actually, let me show you this first. Let me show you the Hamas video of these Hamas fighters just running up and depositing explosives into an IDF, I think a Merkava tank, and just blowing it to smithereens. And they just ran up there and did it by hand. That takes some guts, man. These Hamas fighters are some gutsy dudes. Check this out.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah yansurhum, ya Rab. Allah yansurhum. Allah yansurhum.
All right, what'd you think of that, huh? these Hamas fighters, they are decimating the Israeli military. They really are. They're ripping apart the IDF, and they've destroyed hundreds of armored vehicles. It's probably over 1,000 at this point. And they've apparently killed or wounded over 70,000 IDF soldiers, according to Colonel Douglas McGregor. And what has the IDF done to Hamas? Not much, but the IDF has bombed and killed something like nearly 40,000 Palestinian civilians, women and children, elderly and hospital patients and so on, because that's what the Zionists are really good at doing, is just killing innocent people. But they haven't really done much damage to Hamas. They may have taken out, I don't know, a few thousand Hamas fighters at this point. But since the IDF bombs don't cause damage deep underground in the tunnels where Hamas lives, the IDF is just bombing the surface buildings where the non-Hamas civilians, for the most part, live. You know, again, women and children and hospital patients and refugees and so on. So the IDF isn't really doing much damage to Hamas. And I would say that there are probably a larger number of casualties of IDF soldiers than there are Hamas soldiers at this point, if you only consider Hamas, not all the civilians of Palestinians, which are not Hamas. Although, of course, the IDF says, well, they're all Hamas. That's why we bombed the children, because we consider them to be enemy combatants. Okay, whatever, you psychos. Anyway, so I named my rooster Hamas. And I don't know if there's some religious significance. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings on either side with the rooster naming. It's just that this rooster, he's fearless, and he attacks me. He attacks anybody. He's attacked other people on my farm just without warning. He attacks, you know, targets much larger than himself, basically. He's very territorial. And I'm out there feeding the chickens, and this guy, like, one day I just feel this thump on my legs, and I look down, and he's like, rawr, 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 and he's like going at my legs with his little fighter claws, man. I'm like, geez, I'm glad this thing's not 7 feet tall. It'd be dangerous, you know? And so I learned to use the bucket. Like I have a white bucket and I toss the food out, the grain from the bucket. And I learned to use the bucket to thump this guy in the chest when he launches himself at me. So he goes, when he launches himself at me, and I go, thump, I thump his chest. And he steps back a little bit and just gives me the evil eye, you know, and then he'll try it again. But I thump him with the bucket anytime he attacks. So it doesn't take much to get him to attack. Anyway, so I decided to go ahead and film it and actually try to get him to attack me, which didn't take long. So check out this video. This is Hamas the Rooster, who is a convicted murderer, by the way. He did kill one of my other roosters last week. I'm sad to say he killed another rooster. And so I'm down to two roosters now. But Hamas the killer rooster on video attacking me while I'm giving them food. Check this out.
Come on, cheeky cheekies. Hamas the rooster. Let's see if he will attack us today. How you doing, Hamas? I call him that because he's not afraid to attack. He's a fighter. He attacks everybody. He killed one of my other roosters too. You want to fight? See? You want to fight today? You want to fight? Yeah? He's in fight mode. Yeah? Oh, there he goes. Yeah? Oh, look at it. He's in fight mode. Come on, Hamas. Do it. Do it. Do it. Oh, hey, Rhodey. Well, good job, Rhodey. Good job. You saved me from Hamas.
All right, as you saw there, my dog Rhodey saved me from Hamas, which is not something that everybody can say. I feel. Notice that Rhodey was barking at me, not the attacking rooster, because he thought I was playing. Well, I mean, I kind of was playing with the rooster, but Rhodey got all jealous. Like, how come you're not playing with me? Why are you playing with the chicken? And the rooster is like, I guess attack time is over. I'm not messing with this dog. But did you notice how quick Hamas the rooster is? Yeah. Yeah. Low tech, too. He doesn't need any GPS coordinates or anything. He just runs up and just like runs into you and claws you with his little attack claws. That can be pretty vicious. So anyway, that's Hamas the rooster. I'll keep an eye out for him and try to make sure he doesn't, you know, claw up anything like my forearms or something. He has launched himself into the air much more vividly than what you saw in that video. I'm just glad he doesn't carry like anti-tank rounds. Somebody posted online when I posted that a photo from Hamas the rooster, and somebody posted on my post, said, yeah, we call those roosters supper. Yeah, I would imagine most people would just shoot them, but I like to have him around because he's actually really good for protecting the flock. And since we've got raccoons occasionally, and we also have falcons, and one time I did have a falcon kill one of my birds. We've got predators. There's also a couple other little critters that run around and can threaten the chickens. And so it's actually, it's good to have a really strong fighter as a rooster around. Just, I wish he would exercise more discernment and not attack the people. And I'm really worried about what's going to happen this October 7th. I have no idea, but I will be ready just in case. Okay, let's move on to some Joe Biden videos because life is not crazy enough yet. We need to see Joe Biden saying more stupid things. This is going to be a very interesting week for Joe because this week is the week that the Democrats, or at least many prominent Democrats, are going to try to get rid of Joe. And they're going to try to, at first, urge him to step down from the reelection campaign. But some of them are going to tell him that he needs to resign completely. And the reason they're saying that is because of clips like this. Here's a 24-second clip of last Friday when Joe Biden sat down with George Stephanopoulos in a scripted interview. And he says in this interview that I gave it my all and did the goodest job I know how to do. He did the goodest job. Wow, that's even more awesomer than I thought. listen to Joe Biden speak like a five-year-old. Check this out.
Mr. President, I've never seen a president at 36% approval get reelected.
Well, I don't believe that's my approval rate. That's not what our polls show.
And if you stay in and Trump is elected and everything you're warning about comes to pass, how will you feel in January?
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
And then we'll get back to Joe Biden here in a second, but I also wanted to play this video for you. This is the NEA, National Education Association, which is the union of like radical leftist teachers, public school teachers that are always pushing the LGBT agenda and communism and drag queen story time. Well, the president, I think it's the president, Becky Pringle. Yeah, she's the president of the NEA. She has just given a speech that is pretty wild. It reminds me of President Camacho in Idiocracy. Sit your monkey ass down, you know. This speech is really something. This is what the NEA is all about. And after watching this, if you don't take your kids or grandkids out of the public school system, you're crazy. This is the kind of lunatic that's in charge of teaching the children of America. Check this out.
NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win all the things. NEA, we have to win all the things, all the things, all the things. Our colleagues are depending on us to win all the things. Keep going, NEA. To preserve our democracy, we must win all the things. Delegates, we won't go back. We will keep going forward because we are the NEA. We are the NEA. We are the NEA. And that's what we do.
Wow, she's really passionate about winning all the things. Whatever that is. In her description on X, she says she's a middle school science teacher. Yeah, you could really feel the science coming across right there. We must win all the things, all the things, all the things. What all things are you talking about, girl? What? These people look crazy. They sound crazy. I mean, what is she turning this in? Is this like evangelical black church now? Is that what this is? Because nothing wrong with the evangelical black church, mind you. But at least when you go to an evangelical black church, you kind of know what to expect stylistically. You know, you're there for the emotion, for being, you know, caught up in the movement and the togetherness and the power. But this is supposed to be the National Education Association and a science teacher. And she's coming across like a black church preacher. We gotta win all the things. I still don't know what all things she's talking about. Because we don't want to go back. Go back to what? What are you talking about? Go back in time? Like with Michael J. Fox? Back to the future? Is that what you're talking about? Now, just for reference, I do want to give you the President Camacho entrance from Idiocracy because it's very similar to what you just watched. And it seems like America is descending into idiocracy. So check out this video from Idiocracy featuring the House of Representin'. Here we go.
your monkey ass down. Chill out. Shit. I know she's bad right now.
Very similar, isn't it? The NEA president's speech in 2024 looks a lot like President Camacho from Idiocracy. What year was that movie? Is that like 2006 or something? Very similar. And all about the same IQ, too, by the way. The NEA union is run by a bunch of libtard tyrant morons, of course. And it's part of the downfall of the West, which is one of the themes that we're going to be continuing to talk about today. But, you know, if you let your kids be raised in public schools, they're going to turn out to be a total psyop mess. Public schools, of course, have become indoctrination centers. And the kids coming out of the public schools are so indoctrinated, they can't tell the difference between what's real and what's fake. And speaking of that, now we have a fake Patriot Front group now over the weekend that rolled out of a U-Haul or several U-Haul trucks. I'll show you the video here. And they proceeded to march around. I think this was in Tennessee. Marched around wearing their masks and their khakis and waving their flags and pretending like they're a bunch of MAGA patriots and Trump supporters. Of course, everybody knows they're just a bunch of feds. And they even had a police escort, by the way. Yeah, police escort for the Patriot Front group, which is just a bunch of masked up feds and fed assets. This is all theater. This is to try to convince leftists that democracy is under attack. In fact, I want to play the videos for you here as I roll my special report that I recorded earlier called The Patriot Front Group is a Bunch of Feds Pretending to Be MAGA. So check out these videos and enjoy my special report. We'll be back on the other side with more news about France and what just happened there. The Patriot Front group is on the march, and everybody with half a brain or more knows that the Patriot Front are just a bunch of feds. And it's obvious because, of course, they're all wearing masks so that they can't be identified, and they rolled off of a U-Haul truck, or multiple U-Haul trucks. They just unloaded out of the back of the trucks. And this is, of course, wildly illegal to drive around town with a bunch of people in the back of your Utah truck. But the Patriot Front group, of course, gets a police escort as they march through, you know, anywhere. I think they were in Tennessee last. They march through, they get a police escort. And the reason they use a U-Haul truck is so that nobody can track the vehicles that the individuals return to. So they go back to the U-Haul, and then the U-Haul gets, you know, turned in because it was a rental. And of course, the FBI could find out who it is if they wanted to, but it turns out it's them. It's themselves. And all these Patriot Front people are FBI assets or undercover FBI agents themselves. And it's, again, it's easy to tell because they wear masks. They have matching uniforms, usually khakis and a blue shirt. And then they roll around with sometimes American flags, sometimes the colonial flags. And every once in a while, they'll roll out Nazi flags. Now, what you need to understand, because you know these are feds, all of us do, but the left doesn't. And this is what you need to understand about this. Understand that it's all theater. Of course it's theater. Elections are theater. And this Patriot Front group, this is not intended for you to believe that it's a legitimate group. It's intended for the left. the real goal of this group is to scare leftists into making sure they go out and vote because they think, quote, Trump will destroy democracy. That's what this is. This is theater to get people to vote who otherwise may not vote because they're very apathetic about Joe Biden. That's all this is. So the Patriot Front group is not supposed to be convincing to you. I mean, you know they're a bunch of feds, and the feds know that you know they're a bunch of feds. But the feds also know that the left are too stupid to know that it's all theater, and thus leftists will be, you know, convinced, oh my God, we're all under threat. Look at these marching patriots waving flags. And then they'll go out and vote for Biden. So that's what this is. Now, if the polls don't show Biden rising enough, which they probably won't, because, you know, he's a walking disaster, the feds will pull off some kind of a violent false flag event, and they will blame it on Trump. In fact, Joe Biden recently hinted at this in the George Stephanopoulos interview. He said that, well, Stephanopoulos said, I've never seen a president reelected that had a 36% approval rating. And Joe Biden said, well, I don't believe that it's 36%. That's not real. Those are fake polls. And then he said, besides, those polls don't reflect how Trump is about to be challenged. Or, you know, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But it sounded like Joe Biden was saying there's going to be a false flag that implicates Trump. And the Gateway Pundit did a story on that. And frankly, their assessment seems correct. It looks like the Democrats are getting ready to do a big false flag operation. They're going to use the Patriot Front group to carry out the false flag. They're going to blame it all on Trump. They're going to have a narrative, you know, like they've done in the past, where they've rolled out marching groups and then they would stage some kind of a killing where, you know, a car would run over one of the left-wing protesters, and then the whole media would say it's Trump's fault, and, you know, Trump said they were very fine people, which is all a lie. So this is likely what's coming, and you need to be psychologically ready for it, because whatever this false flag event is, it's going to be, I mean, look, the most likely way they're going to pull this off is the way they've done a lot of mass shootings before, is they go out and they kill a bunch of people, and then they drag them into a staged scene of some kind, okay? They did this at the Christchurch mass shooting. Was that New Zealand a few years back? I think so. And several school shootings in the U.S. have been done the same way. So they'll kill some children or they'll kill some innocent victims. They'll drag them into a building, and then they'll set up an MK Ultra, you know, patsy to go through, who's been totally brainwashed and drugged up, and he'll have a first-person view camera rolling, and he'll go through as if he's carrying out a shooting, and then they'll just use CG to add the bullets later. And this is the weird thing about the Christchurch shooting, which was every room they went into, the people were already dead. I mean, the shooter. And it was supposed to be a real-time mass shooting, and you weren't allowed to share any videos. You were shut down if you shared any videos. Why? Because the video was obviously a fake. Obviously a fake. Every room the guy would burst into, almost everybody was already dead, piled into the corner, already shot. So that's the way they're going to probably do this. They're going to shoot up a bunch of people. They're going to drag them into some kind of scene, and then they're going to have some kind of a run-through video. And they're going to say, oh, it's a Trump supporter, and it's all the rhetoric from Trump supporters, and we have to defeat Trump, and we have to ban guns, and we have to stop conservatives, and, you know the usual narratives. And this is going to be designed to be so bloody and just so horrible that it's supposed to give Biden a boost in the election. And that, combined with, of course, ballot printing and stuffing, is how they plan to rig the election. And by the way, all of this will be convincing to stupid leftists, because they're gullible, they're stupid, they all took the jabs, they've been, you know, mentally neutered, lobotomized. They can't discern fiction from reality, which is why they think men can have babies. And so they'll be convinced by this. Oh my God, there's another shooting because of those mean Trump supporters and those gun people. But you and I will know it's totally fake. But, of course, you know, that won't matter to the left, and the media will roll out the narrative that it's real and it's Trump's fault. And they might even blame it on Alex Jones, you know? And anybody who questions it will be censored. Oh, you can't question. You can't question the official narrative. You can't say that this was staged. How dare you? And they've set the precedent with Alex Jones and Sandy Hook. Oh, if you question anything, you might be sued for $1 billion. See? They've set the precedent. So a lot of people will tend to be very silent about it. Oh, we better not say anything. Might lose my YouTube channel, you know, that kind of thing. But it's going to be a massive false flag operation. You'll be able to rely on Brightown.com, by the way, to host videos questioning the official narrative. Because Brightown is a free speech video platform. And that's why it's still censored by Twitter, yes. Which is one of the reasons why we sued Twitter recently over their censorship. But if we try to assess then exactly what kind of false flag operation this is going to be, you have to realize that they engineer these things to have the maximum emotional impact. And how do you have an emotional impact? Well, they have to kill children. And the deep state will kill children. They've done it before, obviously. They'll kill plenty of children. But they have to be able to show them, you know, like, here's all these dead, bloody children, and it's the fault of Trump. So how are they going to do that? Well, they're going to stage a shooting or maybe explosives or something where are children gathered? Think about it. It's going to be in a school. It's going to be in a daycare center or some kind of a children's amusement park. Remember Disneyland, how they faked the measles outbreak a few years back to push SB 277 in California, the vaccine mandate law? Yeah, they staged a big measles outbreak in Disneyland. Totally fake. But the children are all... it's not safe unless we all have vaccines. And that's how they pushed it through. This is the way the radical left works. This criminal cabal of tyrants. They stage something to achieve an agenda. And this time they want to achieve an outpouring of votes for Joe Biden. How are they going to do that? Again, they're going to have a big emotional impact false flag event. So yeah, maybe it's the Patriot Front group marching into Disneyland with a bunch of guns and shooting up a bunch of children, or at least that's how it's depicted by the media. Of course, the children will have already been pre-shot and pre-arranged, and the Patriot Front people will just be using like simulated munitions, you know, as they're called, simunitions. You know, they'll be firing non-real munitions at already dead children. And, of course, the media will say, oh my God, it's all real. Even though it's theater. And you could already see the scripted speeches. Joe Biden will come out all messed up. He'll say, it's clear Trump's people are a threat to democracy. Look at all the dead children. Yeah, the ones that your deep state murdered and arranged for the false flag, yeah. We're on to you, man. We know exactly how you operate now. We've known for many years, so that's how it's probably going to go down. Something like that. And then if you explain this to libtards, they'll say, well, no, the government would never do that. They're protecting us. They're protecting us from you. Because they don't know how much evil there is in the world. They don't recognize the evil that is in big government. They don't realize what government is capable of doing. And that's one of the reasons why government keeps getting away with it, because the radical left just always underestimates evil. And so they end up supporting evil that, you know, keeps on victimizing people, killing people in order to achieve their goals. Now, that's one scenario, very likely scenario, by the way, but there are others, of course. They may try to just cancel the whole election. To do that, they would need something bigger, you know, like a nuclear detonation on a U.S. city or something, or a nuclear exchange with Russia, you know, some kind of world war scenario. They may try that, too. I'm sure they have 3 or 4 plans up their sleeves. I mean, these are the same intelligence officials who all said that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. These people sit around and cook up all kinds of schemes and nefarious conspiracies in order to enslave America and stay in power and avoid prosecution for their crimes against America. This is what they do. They are schemers. So they always have plans and backup plans for those plans. They've got different ways to run this operation. And although there are some white hats that will say no or try to stop them, and probably I would say that white hats inside the system have stopped many false flag operations from ever taking place, they can't stop all of them. And also the white hats have been shoved out of a lot of these agencies because the criminal cabal in power doesn't want people in place who, you know, will expose them or stop their agendas. So we're in for quite a ride. In other words, that's the bottom line. Between now and Election Day, you're going to see the most desperate chapter ever in American history. And I have this weird feeling that this time they're going to screw it up. That they're going to try a big false flag operation and they're going to get caught somehow. Caught and exposed. And their whole system is going to crater at that point. And the cabal ends up losing the election and then being prosecuted for attempting to run this, you know, treasonous, violent event, whatever it happens to be. I have this weird feeling that they're so incompetent now that they're going to screw it up and get caught. And wouldn't that be amazing? Because it would finally force a lot of people to rethink history. The whole history of everything they think they know from 9/11 and Oklahoma City and whatever. It's nothing but lies. And if it comes out that the government actually has been running these false flag operations and they get caught and it's undeniable, then that's going to change people's opinion of all this in the same way that the truth about COVID changed people's opinions about vaccines. You realize that over half the population now is opposed to vaccines. That number used to be like 3% before COVID. Now it's way over 50%. And there used to be a lot more trust in the CDC and the FDA and the NIH and so on and Big Pharma. You realize now how strong the anti-Big Pharma voices are. I mean, Trump even came out recently and said it's time to start questioning Big Pharma and whether they have dangerous medications that are, you know, promoting chronic degenerative disease. Trump said that. And more people are taking aim at Big Pharma. And of course, Fauci's been completely discredited. Only liberal leftists trust the CDC at this point. I mean, things can change dramatically. All it takes is one screw up by the establishment and the American people will wake up in droves. It's going to be like a mass red pilling type of experience for America. Realizing, hey, you've been living in the Truman Show and it's all been staged and it's all theater. And now, oh my God, you go through this door and there's a whole different world. That's the red pilling moment. That's the mass awakening that's coming for America. So you can contribute to that. Keep your cameras rolling. Film everything. Just like the Patriot Front group was filmed unloading out of the backs of U-Haul trucks. Yeah, somebody was just in a parking lot filming that and they shared it. So film everything. Share it online. Put it on Brighteon.com. Put it on Rumble.com. Put it on YouTube if they will allow it there. They'll probably ban everything. But post videos. Share intel you have. Even if you don't think it's important, keep on posting it and keep on sharing it, because it may be, there might be something in the frame of your video that you didn't notice, but somebody else will notice that matches up with some other video. So just keep on posting online, keep on putting it out there, stay informed, stay observant, and record everything. And thank you for listening today. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. And also, of course, Brighteon.com. God bless America. Let's restore America and make this country free once again. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here. Take care. All right, now moving on in other news. France just had a big election, and I'm still trying to figure out how France's election system works. I have no idea. I thought America's electoral system was complicated, and then France just goes into pure insane land. So basically, as I understand it, what happened is, you know, a few days ago, Le Pen, her party, which is the conservative party, you could say, which the media always calls far right. They're so far. They're not even far. They just don't want a bunch of illegals crossing the border, basically. But anyway, Le Pen's party did really, really well in the first round. And so as a result, Macron's party somehow conspired with the what's called the New Popular Front, which is a bunch of commies. Okay. And Macron, which I think is pronounced Macron, but I don't, I guess I should say it that way because I am dedicated to pronouncing people's name. Macron, his party somehow conspired to have like 200 candidates quit at the last minute, which through some mechanism I don't fully understand yet, allowed the communist left to win the most seats while Le Pen's party came in last or not last, third place with only a small portion of the seats, even though Le Pen's party had 37% or so of the popular vote. They, in other words, they had the most votes, and Le Pen's party won every, I don't know if you call them counties or district or what do you call them in France, but every, we would call them counties. Le Pen won every county in France except Paris. But then somehow the radical left-wing commies got the most seats because of this maneuvering by Macron. As a result, the people of France are desperately trying to stop the illegal immigration, but the election system in France is sort of maneuvered or rigged, you could say, in order to make sure that the basically the anti-Western Europe forces have gained so much power now, and they're all about open borders and sweeping through France with mostly Muslim illegals. And so what's going to happen right now is that France is going to be overrun by millions of Islamic migrants. And frankly, France did not vote for this. At first, when I saw the results, I thought, oh, well, gosh, you know, the French socialists voted for this. Actually not. A far larger number of the people in France voted against this, but they got it anyway, proving that you can't vote your way out of, you know, left-wing tyranny, can you? So they're going to get this tyranny that the country is going to be completely overrun. And it looks like France is done, actually. It looks like France is going to be overrun by Islam. Now, I suppose for the Islamists listening to this or some of those observing this, they're like, yay, we won. You know, we get France. And it's true. They do. They're taking over France now, and there's no stopping the wave. And basically, we're watching a kind of organized suicide of Western Europe. A similar election, you know, took place in the UK a little over a week ago, and also with similar results. So there was this very strong lurch to the radical left. Now, the Labour Party there isn't as radical as the New Popular Front in Paris, but the Labour Party in the UK is still very, very far left, very socialist or communist leaning. And of course, the Labour Party is all in for illegal immigration and globalism and punishing white people and so on. So in the span of, let's say, less than 10 days, both France and the United Kingdom have gone radical left, and they're done. They're done. I'm here to tell you that Western Europe, as we know it, is finished. It will not come back from this. And Islam will conquer Western Europe. And again, for people who are Islamists, you know, they're saying, yay, that we've been trying to do that forever. And for those who are maybe Christians, are like, oh my God, we're losing Western Europe. Yeah. Yeah. You are losing Western Europe. And let me comment on that for a second. You know, my rooster is named Hamas, and I named him that, like I said earlier, because he's a fighter. He's willing to fight hard and aggressively, even against opponents that are much larger than he is. And there's a reason for that. I mean, that's a microcosm of what Islam is. Islam is willing to fight. They're very active. And in fact, people of Muslim faith are not just willing to fight, they're willing to die. Willing to die for their beliefs. You see this with Hamas or Hezbollah and so on. They're willing to die in order to achieve their goals. Whereas Christians in Western Europe, you know, where do we even begin? Number one, the Pope of the Catholic Church is not even, you know, fully human. That guy's a demon. He doesn't represent what the Catholic Church is supposed to stand for. The Pope is an imposter, and he's destroying the Catholic Church from within. But most Catholics stand by and do nothing, and they say nothing. And then when you point out that the Pope is a demon, they say, oh, well, you must be anti-Catholic. What? How did you get that? No, I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm anti-demons pretending to be Catholics, you know? The Pope is a demon. He's pushing LGBT agendas and gay marriage and everything else. I mean, supposed to be the Roman Catholic Church, for God's sake, right? When did transgenderism and child mutilations become part of the Roman Catholic Church? Oh, well, since Pope Francis moved in. And, you know, they killed off, like, you know, previous popes, and there's all kinds of maneuvering behind the scenes to get Francis in there. He's an imposter, okay? So that's just one thing. The Catholic people, by and large, won't fight for their own beliefs. They compromise with progressivism and LGBTism, and as a result, they've lost their identity of who they are. Well, Islam has not lost its identity, has it? If anything, Islam has become stronger in its own identity because of being persecuted by the Zionists in Israel. The passion about being a Muslim has grown stronger, and the brotherhood, you could say, among Muslims, and not just men, but women as well, the brotherhood and the sisterhood among Muslims has become much, much stronger. They have a cohesive, shared identity and value system, whether or not you agree with it. They have a value system, and it is very strong, and they're willing to fight for what they believe in, whereas the Catholics and, by and large, the Christians are apathetic. Across most of Western Europe, the churches have failed the people. And the same thing's true in America. The churches have failed, the Christian churches I'm talking about. Although there are a few exceptions, by and large, the churches have turned against the people. They don't teach what Christ taught. So many of the churches now are just about, you know, like going along and getting along and raising money and baking cookies and muffins together and blah, blah, blah. It's got nothing to do with what you're supposed to be studying. And the churches don't even teach anything about the end times, for example, or prophecy. They never talk about prophecy. And the church leaders, even in America today, are not willing to have discernment. They're not willing to say, hey, we're not going to do gay marriages here in this church. We're not going to invite drag queen story time into this church because we don't want, you know, tranny demons here twerking in front of our children. No, instead, the Christian churches in America, they welcome Satan into their temples, into their buildings. They welcome Satan in. They do. So if you are wondering why is Western civilization being overrun by Islam right now? And again, this election in France just proves it. Why? It's very simple. It's because Western culture or Christian culture is too lazy to fight for anything. That's why. Islam is not afraid to fight or die for their beliefs. Christians are mostly fat and lazy and too tolerant of evil within their own communities. Now, again, I know there are exceptions to this, and I know that many of you listening, you fiercely fight for the belief systems that you practice and that you share. But I know that you also share with me this realization that the mainstream churches are just inexcusably demonic at this point. I mean, would you go to like a Joel Osteen church and listen to that garbage for 3 hours? Hell no. Like literally, hell no. There are very few people in the Christian ecosystem in America today who are willing to tell the truth and call out evil. And one of those people, by the way, is Pastor Jack Hibbs. And I've seen a lot of his videos. Jack Hibbs, I think he's in California. His church is out in California. And he talks about demon activity and he talks about evil. And he goes to Washington and he prays with the lawmakers. You know, Jack Hibbs is the kind of Christian pastor that Jesus, I believe, would have wanted to see. Be active. You know, defend your belief system. Share the passion of why you're a Christian. But Jack Hibbs is a tiny minority in a vast sea of apathetic Christians that just want to go along and get along. And here, take the jabs, everybody, and eat your church muffins and get all obese. Here, jab yourself with Big Pharma's, you know, reptile venom weight loss drugs, you know, recommended by the church. Maybe they have a special deal with Big Pharma. Who knows? But so many of these churches have just absolutely betrayed their flocks. It's sickening. This is why I don't go to church. I'm disgusted by them, frankly, because they don't represent the teachings of Christ. Now, there are certain sectors of belief systems and churches in America that do defend what they believe in. You know, the Mennonites, for example, right? Or the Amish. But you'll note that in order to do that, they've really actually had to close their societies quite a lot. I mean, the Amish, they built a wall around their culture to protect themselves from all of the toxins of the rest of so-called Christian culture. And you can't blame them, by the way. You know, the Amish, their kids are healthy. They're not vaccinated. They don't have autism in the Amish communities. The Amish kids are hands-on. They know how to do things. And, of course, they tend to be very, you know, ethical and moral and so on. Now, yeah, sure, there might be exceptions out there. There's always exceptions. But the same thing is true, you know, with Mennonites. The Mennonites are very dedicated to their teachings and to their calling, and they dedicate their lives to the study of Scripture, you know? And they raise their kids with that dedication. But that's not mainstream Christianity in America. Mainstream Christianity has become like a watered-down sort of Tony Robbins version of Christianity. It's like self-help for the church or something. And don't forget to tithe 10%. Because too many of these churches have become all about marketing to grow the numbers and grow the donations instead of deepening their spiritual teachings. That's the problem with these churches. I'd rather go to a tiny, small church with, you know, like 12 dedicated disciples, right? Than a giant church of 12,000, you know, Christian morons, basically, who don't even know what they stand for and they're not willing to defend anything. And, oh, there's an LGBT gathering after the sermon today. Yeah. Well, how do you call yourself a Christian? Give me a break. You're going to mutilate children and then say you believe in Jesus? Come on. My point is that Islam doesn't suffer from this kind of self-annihilation. At least, look, as a disclaimer, I'm not an expert on Islam, okay? This is just my observations. I'm sure Islam has its own, I mean, of course, it has its own factions and disagreements and so on. But Islam, they don't mutilate their children. You know that? Islam doesn't welcome LGBT lunacy into their cultures. They don't have drag queen story time in their Islamic, you know, mosques and temples and so on. They're not into that stuff. They don't sacrifice their children to the gods of LGBT and mass abortions. They're not into that. And Islam is motivated. They are motivated right now, especially again with what's happening with Israel. Islam is motivated and they're determined and they're smart. Now, I know a lot of people in the West, you've been told by the media, you've been told that, you know, all these Palestinians, you've been told that they're just like stupid animals because that's what the Zionists claim. That is so far from reality. It's just embarrassing to hear anybody say that. They're not stupid animals. They are highly intelligent people. They come from the cradle of human civilization. That entire area gave rise to mathematics, to geometry, to organized agriculture and culture and the written language and so on. Although, of course, written language is also co-developed in you know, modern day China in a parallel track. But my point is that the people of the Middle East, the real people, the real natives there, the actual Semites, okay, they are some of the most intellectually capable people in the world. And when the Zionists aren't blowing up their universities. And when Palestinians have access to universities, they vastly outperform most other cultures if they have access to education. And the reason I'm saying this is because if there's a world competition for, you know, who's going to control Western Europe, or who's going to just even live there, who's going to occupy Western Europe, the winner of that competition is going to be those who are motivated, those who are fearless, those who are willing to fight for their beliefs, and those who don't murder their children ritualistically. Think about it, folks. The Christians in Europe, they're all pro-abortion. You know that? I mean, almost all of them. Again, there may be exceptions to this, but by and large, all the Christian churches in Europe support abortion, and they support vaccine jabs for their children. And they support LGBT mutilations, you know, because they're all woke, DEI, you know, globalist churches. Well, if you're mutilating your children's genitalia, well, how are you going to, how are they going to reproduce? If you're aborting your children, how are you going to grow your population? The Western culture, Christian churches, and to some extent, the Catholic churches there too, they are committing suicide. They are a death cult, a satanic death cult, actually. Look, this is just an honest observation. When you are a church that supports abortion and child mutilations and the LGBT agendas, you are a satanic death cult. And I am not aware of any Islamic mosque that supports those things. The Muslims aren't out there saying, you know, we have to turn all our boys into girls and parade them around at parties to show how, you know, progressive we are. No, they're not doing that. They are systematically waging a cultural war against the West, and the Muslims are winning that war. And this brings us to America also, because the Democrats in America, they are willing to do anything to gain power. They're willing to fight. They're willing to cheat, as we saw in 2020 and the midterms also. They're willing to rig. They're willing to weaponize the government against their political opponents. They're willing to murder, you know, Seth Rich and others. The Democrats are willing to do anything. The Republicans sit back and say, well, we're rule of law people and we're polite. We're going to be polite. So we're not going to, you know, fight. We're just going to wait for the other side to realize how wrong they are. And as a result, the Republicans keep losing. Republicans aren't willing to fight. Democrats are willing to fight. Just like Islam is willing to fight in the Middle East or in Europe, you see. So Republicans in America, which, you know, most Christians are more conservative leaning, they have become too apathetic, too comfortable, and too deeply involved in appeasement. They want to appease the left. They want to get along with everybody on the left, you know, especially the LGBT agenda. And they don't want to, you know, rock the boat. They don't want to disturb anybody. They don't want to get called out for anything. They don't want the press to write mean things about them. And so conservatives, all they care about, and this is even true of Amy Coney Barrett, Supreme Court Justice, all she cares about is what the media writes about her. She's already abandoned almost all her conservative principles. She just wants to have good write-ups in the press. Well, if that's what drives you, then your culture has already failed. You've failed. If you're only about appeasement and being popular, you're done. You're just trying to go along and get along and be comfortable and not rock the boat, then you're done. You're done. And that's the way history has unfolded. The cultures that just wanted to sit there and demand that everybody else treat them well and not fight for what they believe, those cultures are gone. And the cultures that persist and expand throughout human history are the cultures that fight for what they believe in, and they defend it fiercely, and they don't make excuses. And often they don't play by the rules. Now, fortunately for America, there is a strong contingent right now of pro-liberty Americans. Often, you know, former GOP members, or some of them are current GOP members. some former Democrats, some former centrists, and so on, who are fiercely fighting for principles of liberty. I'm one of those people. You probably are too. We are not censoring ourselves. We are vocal. We are expanding our reach. And we are challenging the status quo every single day, calling them out and not holding back. And that's what we need to do more of. That's the only way we're going to win in the United States in this culture war, which is a war for the future of liberty for this constitutional republic. If we sit back and think that, oh, we'll just have fair elections and we'll respect the outcome of the election, even if they rig it, you know, if that's your attitude, then again, you're done. You're already defeated. You might as well surrender with the white flag. That's the Mike Pence attitude, by the way. If you have a Mike Pence attitude, you're screwed. You need to have an Ivan Raiklin attitude, which is a can-do attitude. You're going to fiercely fight. You're going to be, of course, you know, lawful and ethical. You're not immoral in your fight, but you can be fierce in your fight. You can be dedicated to it. Ivan Raiklin is dedicated to the fight. And so are people like, you know, General Michael Flynn and so many others. And that's what I'm saying we need more of. If we're going to defend and protect this constitutional republic, we're going to have to fiercely but nonviolently fight for what we believe in. Because this upcoming election is going to be stolen again and again and again. They're going to rig it. They're going to stuff the ballot boxes in Wisconsin and Michigan and all the swing states. You can count on it. The Democrats are getting ready to do that right now. They're going to pull all kinds of shenanigans. They're going to filter in a bunch of fake votes all through the counting process so you can't even detect it, by the way. They're not going to pull the same tricks they pulled last time because that's too obvious, you know. They're not going to shut down the counting at 4 a.m. and then tell everybody to go home because nobody's going to go home this time. Like, ah, we're on to you. So instead, they've got some other trick up their sleeve. They're going to rig it, and it's going to come down to the pro-America people in states like Wisconsin to hold their ground and say, no, we're not going home. We're not leaving. We're not going to let you rig this. We are here watching and recording and reporting. You will not be allowed to commit vote fraud this time. And you're going to have to nonviolently stand there, hold your ground, and fight for what you believe in. If you're not willing to do that, you've already lost. France has lost. The United Kingdom is lost. Germany's gone. There are some other European countries that aren't totally gone yet. But one by one, they will fall. Western Europe, as we know it, is finished. And by the way, so is Israel. It's just a matter of time. Israel will cease to exist as it is currently structured. It will not be a Jewish nation for much longer. Yeah, there will be no Israel as a Jewish nation. I don't know how long it's going to take, but Israel, through the Zionist Netanyahu, they have already prescribed their own destruction. Because you can't fight. I mean, you can't defeat a billion Muslims that surround you there. You know what I mean? when you're committing genocide against them all. Yeah, eventually you're done. And by the way, Israel is only supported by the West. The West that is almost bankrupt because of all the money printing and the accelerating collapse of the dollar and the rise of the BRICS currencies, which will make the dollar worthless. And then what will Israel do when America can't back them? Well, Israel will fall. So those of you listening in Israel, if you're not already planning on getting out of Israel, might be a good time to think about that. You don't want to be there when Israel falls. And I don't know how far away that is, but that day is coming. Now, I say, by the way, because I'm not a fan of religious wars, and anytime I hear people say, like, we Christians, we have to kill all the Islamists because they worship a false god, or you hear Islam maybe say the same thing, we have to kill the Christians, they worship a false god. What? I'm like, come on. What if we figured out a way to live side by side together on this planet? And instead of killing people of the other religion, what if we traded with each other, huh? What if we engaged in commerce? And then we could spread the wealth, we could share the wealth, we could have successful businesses and keep the money we earn and help send our children to the schools that we want or the churches that we want to send them to. And we could all have enough food and a comfortable home and so on and so forth. What if instead of waging war, we waged peace and engaged in commerce? Because I would love to live in a world where, I mean, I'm a Christian. I don't have anything against engaging in commerce with people of Islam faith. I mean, why wouldn't I want to just trade with them and engage in commerce with them instead of thinking like, oh, we have to destroy them? It's such an ancient, infantile urge. It's like, we have to kill all these people because they're different from us. Really? I don't think so. It feels like that's obsolete. Why can't we learn to live together? Because, you know, Muslims and Christians and Jews have lived together in many countries quite peacefully, not far from each other, sometimes in the very same neighborhoods, and they can do it. They have done it. It's happening right now in places like, you know, Iraq and Syria and Jordan, for that matter. I mean, you don't have to always want to kill everybody that's different from you. So what if we promoted peace globally through the media and through governments? Well, that would mean we'd have to get rid of the Biden regime. We'd have to get rid of the neocons. We'd have to get rid of, well, weaponized money printing. Thank goodness there's a solution for that. It's called the BRICS currency that cannot be counterfeited by any one nation, huh? And that's going to take away the bully empire of the US and the UK. So, you know, when the UK falls and the US dollar collapses, do you realize that that will tend to actually promote more peace in the world? When the US, whatever's remaining of the US, actually has to engage in commerce with other nations around the world, instead of just, let's send the aircraft carriers and bomb them and assassinate them and threaten them and make them do what we want through coercion and sanctions, you know, because that's the current strategy. What if instead of that, because the dollar collapses and then the US has to start buying goods in like the BRICS currency, what if the US is forced to have to trade with other partners around the world? Well, then the US couldn't get away with just bombing everybody, could they? Or the UK, for that matter, couldn't just bomb everybody into compliance. So the end of the dollar and the end of the euro, frankly, will be a day of global peace and global celebration. I think we should call it World Freedom Day whenever that day comes. The collapse of the dollar will be a good thing for humanity. Understand that. And yeah, all the people who are holding dollars are going to lose all the value in the dollars, but that's the price you pay for investing in a counterfeit empire of violence and death. If you're not wise enough to get out of the dollar and get into gold and silver or other currencies, then yeah, of course you're going to lose everything, because your culture, the dollar culture, is a satanic death cult. And until we get past that and get past the idea of worshiping the state as your savior or worshiping money as your savior, until you get past that, you're not immune from losing everything when the fake counterfeit dollar collapses. You've been worshiping the wrong things at that point. As humanity, we should celebrate the collapse of the dollar, and we should celebrate the opportunities to engender world peace through non-coercive trade with people of other countries, of other religions, of other skin colors, of, you know, other national origins, other languages, and so on. That's how we end up with peace. But under that system, the neocons and the State Department, well, they can't just, you know, rape and pillage the world and just steal resources from all the countries, that's been the model. So that's why they don't want that to happen. But for human beings all over the planet, there would be far fewer wars and fewer deaths, a lot less bloodshed. There would be more peace worldwide if countries trade with each other on level terms, instead of one country holding a gun to the head of another country and saying, you're not allowed to sell this to those people, which is what the US does to China through sanctions. Like, you're not allowed to sell technology to Russia. We're going to hold a gun to your head. Yeah, those days are rapidly coming to an end. And when the dollar dies, humans will be more free. And by the way, there's a pattern of nature here, well, of history, that is kind of self-fulfilling. Because the dollar has been so easily printed and then inflation exported around the world, making imported goods so cheap for Americans, because most Americans didn't really have to earn the products that they were importing. Seriously, economically speaking, Americans didn't have to earn the full value of the products they were bringing in, because all the money printing was giving the dollar a very strong global advantage as the world reserve currency. But because of that, it created a sense of apathy, a sense of, well, economic privilege, you could say. A sense that America is, what do they call it, the essential nation. This is, Joe Biden said this the other day. And this is what the neocons believe, that America is the essential nation, that basically the world cannot exist without America. This is what they believe. This is what Antony Blinken believes. This is what Victoria Nuland believed, you know, before she resigned recently. That America, I mean, this is the Paul Wolfowitz protocol. This is the Bushes. This is Bill Clinton. That America is the essential nation. The world can't survive without America. And that America has to call all the shots and tell everybody what to do and then punish them when they don't do it. Well, this is delusional. America is not the essential nation. The world doesn't actually need America in order to survive. In fact, America is a very young nation compared to the civilizations of the rest of the world, like the culture of Russia, which goes back over 1,000 years, or the culture of China, which goes back 5,000 years, or even just the culture of the United Kingdom, which goes back, well, I don't know how far, but many centuries, if not longer. I don't know. I can't keep track of all the history of Europe, but even Europeans can't. So don't call me out of that. But the point is, America is not the essential nation. But we've been behaving as if we are. And it's created this culture of apathy. It's created the culture of being, frankly, obese and lazy and hyper-privileged and all this material wealth. Like, we all deserve to just be paid to not work. You know, that kind of thing. Like, where's my welfare money? Where's my COVID stimulus check? You know, where's my settlement money? Where, you know, just everybody thinks they deserve to get paid. And it has bred a culture of weakness and apathy. And even the military sees this too, when they're trying to recruit soldiers now today. Did you know that military recruitment is off by, in some branches of the military, as much as 30%? They can't find the soldiers to sign up who want to join up. Well, it also doesn't help that the Pentagon has gone full woke DEI. And you know what proud American wants to sign up for, you know, like the libtard army or whatever. So that might be one reason too, but there just aren't that many people left in Western society who know how to do anything. You know, I've seen this myself in trying to hire people. The younger generations, by and large, again, although there are exceptions such as homeschooled kids and kids who grew up on farms and rural environments, they tend to be very practical, and Amish kids, like I said earlier. But by and large, the masses of American kids, they're stupid. They don't know how to do anything. They don't have any knowledge. I mean, look at the NEA president's speech we gave earlier. You want that woman educating your children? What's she going to teach them? Nothing, because she doesn't know anything. And she's a science teacher. Kids come out of schools with nothing. And so that's not a sustainable model for society. You can't have a society rooted in laziness and apathy and a sense of entitlement, which is what the West has become. So these are just the cycles of history, folks. This is like the fourth turning, okay? This is the ebb and flow of civilizations. And this is why the history of civilizations shows the rise and fall of, you know, so many different groups. In fact, let me just read some highlights for you here from an interesting online article from, let's see, Charles Pope, a pastor of the Holy Comforter Saint Cyprian a parish community in Washington, D.C. He's talking about the eight stages that civilization moves through. Stage number one, from bondage to spiritual growth. It talks about how the Christian faith and the church came out of 300 years of persecution. Then stage number two, from spiritual growth to great courage. So then out of people who have nothing, they find the courage to do something and they're willing to fight, right? From spiritual growth to great courage. And that's that phase is active now among many people of other faiths, like, you know, certain Muslim groups, for example. And then point number three, from courage to liberty. And then the civilization is increasingly rooted in values of heroism and virtues of liberty. And they are more egalitarian over time and so on. For example, the United States ended slavery, the practice of slavery, right? So from courage to liberty. Then number four, from liberty to abundance. So out of that liberty comes a lot of economic prosperity, because then people can own property and people can engage in contracts and they can engage in free trade. And so out of that, all kinds of prosperity, you have all this abundance and then you have all this material wealth. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody's living in McMansions and they've got boats in their driveways. And then point number five, from abundance to complacency. All of a sudden, it's like, well, we're entitled to the boats and the jet skis and everything in the driveway. We're entitled to the McMansions. We're supposed to be paid these huge salaries, and we shouldn't really have to work very much because work is kind of difficult, you know? So the virtues fade away, and they're replaced by all this excuse-making, blah, which is, I mean, that really began happening over the last couple of decades in America. Point number six, from complacency to apathy. Apathy is like, who cares, man? I just want to get high, you know, because that's like half the youth today. They have no interest in work. They have no interest in careers or even in marriage. They're just like, they just want to play video games all day or watch porn or sit in their parents' basements and live there. I mean, apathy. But there's also apathy among the Christians, like I mentioned earlier, just apathy. It's like, oh, there's a demon horn wearing drag queen twerking his naked nutsack in front of your children at the church. And the other churchgoers are like, well, we need to be inclusive. You know, it's like, that's apathy. Okay. That's lack of discernment. And then point number seven, from apathy to dependence. Oh, we shouldn't have to work too hard. The government will take care of us. Universal basic income, welfare, someone else will solve the problem for us. Or in the world of politics, it's like, we don't have to do anything. Trump will save us. Or in the world of Christianity, we don't have to do anything. The rapture will take us out of here. All right? It's the same thing. It's just people saying that somebody else is going to solve their problem for them, so they shouldn't have to lift a finger. That's apathy transitioning to dependence. And then the last phase of this, from dependence to bondage. Then you become enslaved. And then all the prosperity collapses. You lose everything that you had. Your currency collapses. Your government collapses. Your freedom to speak collapses through censorship. Your free elections collapse. This is where we are in America right now, from dependence to bondage. The government is weaponized against the people. The DOJ arrests only conservatives. And the FBI runs the Patriot Front group to terrorize the American people. The government becomes a terrorist organization in order to enslave the people through fear-based psyops. COVID, anyone? Forced vaccinations? All of this, okay? So we are in stage eight in America right now. And from this stage will be a collapse. We will suffer a collapse of the currency, a collapse of the culture, a collapse of the geopolitical nation itself, a collapse of the U.S. Navy, and so on. We will suffer a collapse. And then one day, out of that, we go back to point number one, phase one, from bondage to spiritual growth. You see, this is the cycle of civilization that we're living through, that our ancestors lived through. They were in different phases and, you know, different nations at the time. But this is how civilization rises and falls. Right now, today, Islam is hungry. Islam is driven, and I'm talking about those of Muslim faith in places like Turkey, let's say, or Iran, or frankly, in Palestine, right? And other places, they're hungry and they're determined and they're mission driven. And they're going to conquer and they're going to succeed in spreading their faith and spreading their populations. And then they're going to go through all these phases. They're going to go from courage to liberty, and they're going to create a more egalitarian society over time. They're going to go from liberty to abundance. They're going to own the world's wealth. And then they're going to go from abundance to complacency. And yeah, exactly. 75 years later, or whenever it happens, the Muslims are going to look a lot like the Christians today, where they're chopping up their babies and aborting them and killing them and everything's okay and they have no discernment. Yeah, because it's a cycle. It's a cycle that every civilization moves through. And you can't really change this. These are natural cycles. They're unstoppable. And it's wise if you recognize where you are in this cycle right now so that you can plan accordingly. Today in the United States, we are in the cycle of collapse and bondage. And that's true for all of the Western countries, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, etc. And so understanding this, by the way, I hope you realize that even if Trump is elected, it doesn't stop the cycle. Even if Trump is elected, it doesn't stop the collapse. Trump cannot stop the collapse of the dollar and the collapse of culture. The American culture has become too lazy, too apathetic, too dependent, too much lacking in discernment, lacking in courage, lacking in vigor, okay? Western culture will collapse. 100% chance of that happening. You're living through it right now. And it cannot be stopped, no matter who's president. So when you vote, if we get to election day, when you vote this November, understand, you're not voting to change the direction, really, of the collapse of the West, because that's impossible. You're only voting for who's in the White House as the collapse accelerates. And it is better to have a conservative in the White House compared to a, you know, screaming demonic liberal as the collapse accelerates. But you're not going to stop the collapse. I mean, Trump has already indicated he's all in for, you know, more money printing, more debt. So the debt spiral is inevitable. So I hope I've given you some important things to think about there. Now, if you want to strategically insulate yourself, at least financially, from the collapse, then look at gold and silver. And I've put our gold and silver sponsors on my website, rangerdeals.com. And our longtime provider of gold and silver coins is the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. You can find them at metalswithmike.com. Also, if you just want to go directly to them, metalswithmike.com. Or if you want goldbacks, which is a really cool form of gold, it's real physical gold in a polymer with a beautiful design in the shape of a goldback, not a greenback, but a goldback. And you can get these at verifiedgoldbacks.com, and you can see all the lab results, the lab testing that we conducted to test the mass and the purity of the gold that's actually embedded in the goldbacks. So that's another form of gold. It's very highly divisible, very portable, very recognizable. There are lots of forms of gold and silver, but gold can't be counterfeited, and silver can't be counterfeited. Dollars can, euros can, yen can. The BRICS currency that's coming up soon cannot be counterfeited, but it's not available yet, right? So right now, the things that are not able to be counterfeited include gold and silver, and in the digital space, things like Bitcoin. You can't counterfeit Bitcoin. That's probably its best intrinsic property, is non-counterfeitability, if I can use a term like that. But gold has been that way, you know, since the beginning of the table of elements. The only way to create gold is through fusion or fission. And unless you're running, you know, crazy expensive and frankly dangerous nuclear experiments in your basement, you're probably not making gold, and nobody else is making gold either. There's only so much around and it's expensive to get, so it's got built-in scarcity. Anyway, gold and silver will survive the collapse of the dollar. They will tend to hold value through all of this. And then you'll be able to transition to whatever the next currency is or whatever the next nation is. And by the way, this timetable that I mentioned, these eight phases, it can be sped up. it can be accelerated. And you know what tends to accelerate this? Like war, including nuclear war. So if there's a nuclear war and there's a near wipeout of the U.S. population, that will put us back to a collapse stage, and very quickly people will find God again. And then that will initiate phase one, the spiritual growth, very rapidly. And of course, a lot of the people who are not prepared and not ready and not smart, they will die in the aftermath of the nuclear war. And that will eliminate them and all of their false fairy tale beliefs from the new society that emerges out of the ashes of the bombed out society. So this timetable can change, but the cycles cannot, they can't be skipped. You're going to go through the cycles one way or another. And we're in the bondage collapse cycle right now. So, you know, plan accordingly. And finally, instead of trying to commit genocide against those of Muslim faith, which is what Netanyahu and the IDF are trying to do, that model is not sustainable, by the way. Instead of doing that, you should learn to trade with people of different faiths. You should learn to coexist with them. We all should. That is sustainable, and that creates abundance that can be shared and even built up over time. So get out of the war mentality and get into the trade mentality, and we all win as a result. It's funny though, Netanyahu's like, we've got 7 Muslim countries that are trying to kill us. Yeah, I wonder why. I mean, did you do anything? Yeah, maybe don't commit genocide, and then, you know, the other neighbors won't want to annihilate you, you know? Just a thought, just saying. Netanyahu always acts like he's the victim. It's a classic Zionism behavior, like, we're always the victims. The whole world's out to exterminate us while we're bombing women and children to death in Gaza. No, you're doing the extermination. Maybe if you stop killing others, they wouldn't want to kill you. Ever thought about that? There's something to consider. And besides, as I showed you in that video earlier, the IDF is getting raped by Hamas every single day. It's just like, here, you know, have a landmine right up your turret there. Merkava tanks. What does the word Merkava mean? Does it mean to hide inside your armor? Is that what Merkava means? The hiding of cowards? I think that's what it means. All right. In any case, folks, hey, don't get all whipped up over my comments here. I'm calling for peace. And I'm going to call out the warmongers every chance I get, all these genocidal lunatics. Anybody who initiates mass killing, mass extermination of other people, I'm going to call them out. And I'm going to celebrate anybody who stops the mass killing. Because I believe we can learn to live together. But some of these psychopaths and lunatics like Netanyahu need to be taken off the chessboard, so to speak. It's only a matter of time. All right. Thank you for listening, folks. And understand that I pray for peace, and I pray for an ending of the tyranny over all of us. The tyrants and those who seek power, I hope they are defeated. And I hope that the people of our world, the people of every faith, of every religion, of every color, ethnicity, language, whatever, I hope that they find peace, abundance, and liberty, even though our world is run by sociopathic, warmongering lunatics. Let's defeat them together, shall we? And then let's protect our futures together for all of human civilization. Thank you for listening today. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Check out all the deals I've put together for you from our third-party vendors at rangerdeals.com. Save you a lot of money there on things like pet-labeled ivermectin, by the way. And also shop at our store, healthrangerstore.com, for all your nutrition, superfoods, and storable foods needs. And thank you for all your support. God bless you all. Take care. All right, here's what we have new and exciting at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We have new, completely reformulated stick packs of these drink mixes that are really amazing. Show what's on my desk here. So the first one is the ginger plus elderberry immune support drink mix. These can be dissolved in water or other drinks. They have a good dissolving capability, by the way. And the ingredients are really clean and simple. Now, these are not certified organic, but they are laboratory tested in our lab. And I want to show you, you know, we do heavy metals testing and we do glyphosate testing and so on. But look at the simple ingredients here. Elderberry concentrate powder, elderberry juice flavoring powder, inulin, that's a natural prebiotic fiber, instant ginger concentrate powder, vitamin C that's non-GMO, and then stevia, and that's it. Okay, super simple, and it's real, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no garbage in here, no filler, just the simple ingredients that I mentioned there with an excellent taste that's tart, you know, it's got a nice berry flavor, and it's got the non-GMO vitamin C, and it's only sweetened with a little bit of stevia. So I think you'll enjoy that. We also have a tart cherry probiotics drink mix that you can see there on the top of your screen. And we have a collagen joint support with marine collagen, not bovine collagen. So that's available right now as well. And then here's something really exciting. We now have for the first time, nattokinase. This is an enzyme that's very potent. A lot of people have been learning about this in the post-COVID era of, you know, good health and good cardiovascular support and all of that. So check out nattokinase, which is an enzyme that's actually derived from fermented soy, but it's fermented, so it actually, it synthesizes new natural molecules and enzymes, and that's how you get nattokinase. We have that available right now at healthrangerstore.com. And then finally, we have these certified organic freeze-dried cranberries in number 10 cans. We have many other fruits and vegetables also that are certified organic, laboratory tested, long-term storage in this format. You can find all of these, including our long-term storable food, Ranger buckets, mini buckets, and mega buckets at healthrangerstore.com. We thank you for your support. Oh, don't forget about Lion's Mane. Yeah, this is relatively new, a few weeks that we've had it in the store. Lion's Mane mushroom capsules. Organic lion's mane mushroom powder. This is my favorite functional mushroom. This is what I took after nearly severing my finger. And I use lion's mane as part of my, you know, protocol to regrow nerves and tissues and blood vessels and get back the functioning of my own index finger. So that was my introduction to the power of lion's mane. But it can help support your immune function. It's got a lot of other benefits supporting normal neurological function and so on. So check it out at healthrangerstore.com. So thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. We need your support in order to continue to build the infrastructure of human freedom. And not only are we working to provide you with healthy, nutritious, clean foods, but also, of course, we have brighteon.io, which is an uncensorable decentralized free speech platform, but we also have brighteon.ai, and we're about to release a new language model that's trained on truth-based, reality-based content that I just looked at our internal scoring of that model yesterday, and it scores 94 out of 100 in our testing, which asks it questions about medicine, health, history, you know, politics, genders, reality, everything. 94 out of 100. The base models from companies like Microsoft or Mistral or Meta, the base models score about 50 out of 100. And our most recent model was scoring, I think it was 79 out of 100. And now we have a model that scores 94 out of 100. So these models are all available to you for free. Let me bring up the website, brighteon.ai. You can go there. You can download these models. Just enter your email, click register. You can download the language models free of charge and use them locally without charge. And it's like, it's just open source language models that we build for you and release to the world. And it's a knowledge base because we've trained it on a tremendous amount of material on nutrition, natural health, gardening, survival skills, you know, food production, off-grid medicine, off-grid living, and so much more. And the way we build those is by investing in the infrastructure with the help of your support at healthrangerstore.com. So enjoy all of our products, enjoy the health benefits and health support that they offer, and feel good about knowing that you're helping to support us as we build the infrastructure for human freedom. Thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.